Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We missed a week. But it's June 26th, and we're going to miss, the 4th of July show, because you're going to be floating around somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to be off to Asia. I'm not sure where I'll be that particular day, but somewhere between Cambodia and Singapore.
Weren't you just in Asia like...
A year ago. I was in Vietnam and
And you're going
China.
Back. Why?
It's not hot enough here in South Florida during the summer. It is one of the best places to go. I love Asia. You know, between the
culture. And you're bringing your wife?
My wife, and we're meeting some friends over there. And actually, how do you like this? This is bad. So I'm flying over to London on Virgin. Okay?
You're going around the horn?
That's the way to do it from here. And I'm flying for Virgin. And then we're taking, it's Singapore Air or something. Singapore. So I'm sitting in, how do I deal with this? I'm sitting in first class. Okay? And they're sitting in coach.
This is like, I hate to tell you this. I've done this to my family.
Oh, really? Oh, let's hear.
Well, I had a situation where I had this upgrade, and it was a long trip, and we're all going to go someplace to South Africa, like. It was South Africa, and I got bumped up to, actually, the thing is that they may have been in business and I was in first, but whatever the case was, they were in a lesser cabin. And I just had to hear about it for about 5 years.
Yeah, right. I mean, what do I have to do? Am I going to have to, like, smuggle the drinks out? Which is fine. I'll do that. And I think my wife is small, so she may go hang out in the back for a while, and my friend Scott will come up and
Nobody cares you're smuggling drinks back there. It's just they're irked about it because you're sleeping. It's more comfy, and you get caviar. You can't. It's hard to smuggle that. I wouldn't. I'd probably do it again, but it's beside the point.
The bottom line is we got it on points. It's not like I pay for first class. You get on points, so you get a free meal.
No, it has
to
be free.
You know, they had a choice to do it on their points. They didn't want to, so I'm like, okay.
Oh, you've got it made.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is their choice.
Oh, yeah, this is not my situation.
Yeah.
This was like kind of a...
It's a long flight, though. It's like 13 hours. Like 7 or 8 hours to London and then another 13 hours from there. By the time I get there, I'll be coming back. The vacation will be over.
It's miserable. Are you going to go around the horn, or are you going to go from Singapore to San Francisco back to Florida?
No.
Oh, that's around the world. That's fun.
I'm not sure why we're not, but we're going. I'm going to three countries. I'm going to Indonesia, Bali. We're going to Bali. We're going to Cambodia and
Bali.
Singapore.
Yeah, good. I haven't been there, but it's supposed to be fantastic.
I will be sending you pictures, my friend.
By art.
Okay. I'll carry it back with me. Since
and by the way, when you're in Indonesia, you should also – they have – Indonesia is very artistic. And mm-hmm. I would buy these batik tablecloths. They do a lot of stuff. It's actually pretty stunning. You'll never see anything like it in this country.
You know what I do?
We buy a lot of stuff.
I watch the videos from like Anthony Bourdain and Samantha Brown. You know, I just see what's going on there. There's some cool stuff going on in Singapore with the food and the hawker stations and – the areas we're going into Cambodia, wow, with Angkor Wat and these, we're going to be going to this pool of the gods, and it's great. I would encourage everybody to just go check it out. Some of the places, very, very, you know, at least look.
Well,
it up.
It's Indonesia. You want to buy the art?
Okay, I will do that. So you want to talk about business? I'll talk about a headline. The headline on tonight is Singapore real estate homes are the cheapest they've been in 10 years.
Mm.
Now it seems to be that. The particular headline, it was almost like, oh, that's great. What a bargain. Then I'm starting to think, wait a minute. Is that good? Why is that good? If it said, if we had that same headline, housing prices dropped the lowest in 10 years, we'd be like, oh, man, that's bad. You know, but the way it was presented. On
like
the front
some sort
page
of a deal. It's like a sale at Macy's.
You know, it's like a good thing. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
So it has something to do with the rental prices or whatever. Anyway, lots going on since we talked last. I mean, Microsoft has a new tablet. Facebook actually went up. There's a lot to talk about with Europe, a lot to talk about with some things that happened at Best Buy. I don't know where you want to start, but there's There's a big sector rotation going on in the markets right now. And I sent you a chart over this, and there's a
weekly, it's
the black chart with the kind of funny looking circle things. Basically, what happens is there's a number
of
sectors.
What's the name of this chart?
Probably rotation or RRG, I think it's called RRG. So basically, what happens here is that if you take the S&P and you split it apart,
yeah.
You say, okay, yeah, it's weird looking, right? So let me explain this. So it looks like something that you'd see if you're tripping on acid, and you'd be like, wow, that's cool, man.
It's like a weather pattern.
Right. It looks like a hurricane. So you take the different sectors inside the S&P. So you have the telecom, and you have materials, you have healthcare, you have consumer discretionary, consumer staples. You break it all down. There's about 8 different sectors in there or so. So each one of them really has a different time in the economic cycle that will actually outperform potentially. You know, sometimes they all move together a bit, but when you look at them in a relative fashion, okay, what's outperforming the other? Is there any kind of pattern? Is there any kind of something going on? Or is it more of a random thing that things are moving up and everything's kind of moving in the same level? Well, if you look at this chart, you'll notice immediately this top right, which is the improving and leading. Okay, so it's 4 quadrants. Top right is leading and improving. Bottom left is lagging and weakening. If you see the chart of one of these moving from the bottom left, up to the top right, you see it's starting to really pick up steam. And as it circles around and you kind of look at this rotation, if there's anything noticeable that's a little bit, you know, out of the ordinary, well, there's something out of the ordinary, right? I mean, telecoms are like shooting off the chart.
Yes, and utilities are doing well. And
yep.
I don't know what cons is.
Yep, on staples, consumer staples.
Okay, what's this? But the bad one here that doesn't look to me to be something I'd want to be in is financials.
Financials?
And cond.
That's consumer discretionary. That would be your retail.
Oh.
So what's happening is
it looks as this, if it's headed to, it doesn't, that to, of all the things on here, that's the one that strikes my, strikes me as doing the wrong thing at where it started from.
Right, and here's the interesting thing. They're so separate. They're not. I haven't really seen them this separated in a very long time. I mean, they're really top right, bottom left. And what's interesting about this, I think, is and by the way, each of those represents 1 week of performance. Each dot, each month.
What's the ENRS?
Energy.
And MATR?
Materials.
Industrials, I see. INFT?
Information technology.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's not doing well.
Huh. Interesting. Oh,
you look at some stocks. I mean, look at some of this, like Acme Packet, Cisco. I mean, Apple's just hanging in there doing its thing. Microsoft did well for a while, just hanging in there. But the rest of the big boys are, you know, just okay. But what this shows you is if you kind of just, okay, take a snapshot of where this is. And then if you look at the classical moves that money managers and the right things to do in certain times of an economic cycle. These are the defensive stocks, the dividend-paying stocks, things you need to buy every day like soap and dishwashing.
When you see utilities up there kicking ass, you know it's something's up.
Right, risk is off, and if you have to be in stocks because you're a money manager that has to have X amount percent in stocks because that's the way you manage money, you know, where do you want to choose to be? Well, if I want to be the place that's going to hurt me the least, if something really falls out of bed, and that's the utilities and the telecom, because you know everybody,
right,
you know, has to have that, the consumer staples. So just a point for everybody listening that there is a big picture. You kind of, if you step back from the individual movements and the day to day, there's a big picture rotation over the last 6-7 weeks into defensive areas. Now, what I would suggest,
where does this come from?
This is off of a Bloomberg. This is a calculation of, it's a relative rotation chart. So it's not just simple performance. It's relative.
Yeah,
it's
no, I understand.
Yeah, so it's from Bloomberg.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. We could do this on currencies, on stocks, on indices, on subsectors. Very cool.
Yeah.
Lots of different ways to
very nice.
Back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll try to put that up on the show notes. How's that?
Yes.
Let's see here. Egan Jones downgraded Germany today from a AA- to an A+. Now, let me just kind of set the stage here for you. I think it was about 2 o'clock, maybe 2:30. And I'm sitting there in my office doing my thing. I was kind of going through a few things, and I was kind of just glancing at – I was actually on the phone, and I was kind of just staring blankly on a screen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just as a backdrop, right? And all of a sudden, I noticed this gigantic move in like a split second. Twice this happened to me today. Of the markets. I said, what the heck was that? Was that a bad – what was that? A bad tick or something? What was that that just happened?
What time was this?
I think it was about 2:30, I think. 2 o'clock, 2:30.
Hmm.
And it just was, you know, spiked down like, 35 basis points, you know, a third of a percent. But again, that was, you know, comparatively, that was in the blink of an eye, that was fast. And it turns out that Egan Jones did, in fact, downgrade Germany to a much lower level. And this is kind of the pattern has been that Egan Jones, which is not one of the big boys, but still they're pretty aggressive in terms of rating, is usually followed by a Moody's or a Fitch, usually. So I think there's some fear out there about, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, is Germany going to see some further downgrades? And if they're the only ones that are going to be supporting the Eurozone, what does that mean?
I don't know. What does it mean?
Well, no, the buy program was on today, so nobody cared. But no, clearly the buy program was on today. You know, every drop was just bought up. And but it was up a bit, the markets, nothing substantial after yesterday's drop. But, you know, this is the start of kind of the end process in a way for Europe, because if you think about it, if the banks fail and the sovereigns take it up, okay, fine. But if the sovereign fails, the most healthiest sovereign has to pick up the slack. But if the healthiest sovereign starts getting problematic, the only place to go is God. I mean, where else are you going to get money from, you know? I mean, there's nothing left.
The IMF.
Maybe.
The World Bank. Our money.
Yeah, but we have the IMF is $500 billion.
That's enough. It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps the shop open for a little longer, I guess. The second time that happened today, you want to hear the second time that happened?
Yeah.
I happened to be going through a list of stocks, and I said, look at Best Buy. Interesting. I said, kind of up like 3%. I said, what's going on with Best Buy? Honestly, as I was saying that to Kevin in my office, it wasn't doing anything major, but I was like, you know, kind of looking at the history, just seeing what was going on. As I said that, the stock goes up 15% in a split second. I said, what the heck was that? As it turns out, there was some news that Schultz, the founder of Best Buy, was considering doing some kind of privatization or strategic type of roll-up of the company.
Mm.
It just, if you look at a minute chart or a 5-minute chart on Best Buy, it came way back down. But it was up. It was honestly up 15% in just a split second. Every stop just got blown out on the way up when it triggered. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to actually buy Best Buy and bring it private if it's so many problems, except for the fact that you don't have to worry about the public scrutinizing you.
Yeah. Well, don't know. I haven't been to Best Buy for a couple of years now.
It's terrible. It's like, where do you shop your electronics?
Online. Right. I take that back. I also go to Lasher's in Berkeley. It's one of those old-fashioned electronic stores that has a bunch of crazy guys behind the counter that know all kinds of weird stuff and can answer every question, the original genius bar. And the entire place is filled to the gills with weird stuff. It's like Radio Shack on steroids.
Guy's got the pocket protectors. You bring in a transistor.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what transistor that was.
Oh,
and where
to
get it.
Yeah. And
Home Depot.
And the place is in business. It's still there. And people are. You go there on a Saturday, the place is packed.
I love that. Yeah, see? That's when times were good.
Yeah.
What do you think about.
Or bad, if you think about it.
Have you been watching Corn at all? Not that you.
No, I have not. Well, I've been watching Corn. There's a new show on NBC. No, I've not been watching Corn.
I get it. That was funny. Right?
I thought was I watching porn? No.
You don't have the sound effects tonight. I don't know what's going on. But Corn has been just really, there you go, moving up incredibly. Now, we got all this big drought problem. Of course, now we're going to have the whole global warming discussion.
We have a drought in Korea.
Is it drought in Korea?
Major drought in Korea.
I don't know what they grow there besides that they export, but we have a big drought in the Midwest, I guess it would be, that is causing all sorts of problems for the crops. And the corn crop is very lean, and it's been very lean for a few years. And this is creating major havoc. Corn prices are up about 15% in the last, 6 weeks. There's a chart I gave you. Look at that vertical move.
Mm.
And now this is going to be problematic. First of all, you got the ethanol issue, which is going to be a problem. The second thing you have, obviously, is...
still down from 2011.
From the highs in 2011, but it's moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, you have, this is also used for feed, for poultry and other various livestock. So we'll have to see if this is going to actually cause those sorts of problems for some of the people that, the companies that actually provide, you know, whether it's corn flakes for Kellogg's or corn meal or corn syrup or corn whatever.
Did this happen last year?
The year before, I think it was.
No, that's when we had the 2011. Yeah, there's a huge corn crop disaster.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And this is, but the problem is they still had supply. They still had reserves, you know, in the corn files, I guess. Whatever you call it.
Corn things.
Big corn.
Silos.
But the problem is they drained some of those. So, you know, you hope for the next year you could refill them and restock. But this has happened like for 3 years in a row, I believe it is now. So now all of a sudden your reserves are really low. And now that just really, you know, makes the price go up dramatically. So, you know, this whole big drought problem. And then, you know, who knows?
I wonder how much this has to do with the Monsanto GM corn. I mean, in 2009, there was a huge disaster blamed on Monsanto in South Africa. Apparently, they, you know, they weren't doing something. And this, the corn is, was very sensitive to not getting enough water or something like that.
Well, Monsanto actually will be coming out with earnings tomorrow morning. I believe it's tomorrow morning. So we'll see. But one of the things that's a secondary play on this, and as a matter of fact, we invested in this yesterday because we saw some of this starting to, like, day before maybe, was the fertilizer companies.
Oh.
So you see that, you know, you're having some difficulty with crops and two things. So if prices go up, farmers can obviously pay for fertilizer. But if the crops and the particular the crop that season isn't good, well, what they're going to have to do is lay down more fertilizer and maybe do some more things to the land and plant more, et cetera, right? So fertilizer stocks recently, which have been just very much underperforming, have just started to perk up. As a matter of fact, today Mosaic was up, I think, close to 5%. Potash was up. CF Industries, Terra Nitrogen, they're all doing very nicely. Mm. So, you know, at times when you see this happen, it's an interesting time that you want to think about if you ever see prices going up on crops and you see shortages, you know, it's got to hit you in the head and say, hey, fertilizer stocks.
Hmm. All right.
Or not. It's up to you.
Well, not the first thing I think of, but...
Now, yeah. Let me ask you a question. Is this coincidence? The Greek prime minister and the Greek finance minister said last week they're not going to be able to meet with the Eurozone meeting that's happening Thursday, Friday. Big meeting. Big meeting. They were going to, you know, bring some information and probably square some things up. And a lot of people are meeting. And the, obviously, one of the central parts of this is Greece. The Greek prime minister and the finance minister are both sick. Okay? I'm not kidding.
Don't you love these guys?
It's like, I want a note, by the way. I want a note from their parents.
It's so they like this never ends. These Greeks and the their stalling tactics. It's just it's beyond putting off getting, you know, paying a bill. I thought I mailed it. I got to go to the bank and make sure the check didn't clear. You know, and
right.
For years, this has been like over a year now, hasn't it?
What address did you tell me? I didn't send it to that address. What did you? You know. So here's the thing. So then you find out a couple days later, the finance minister quits.
Ooh.
This guy's been on the job for all of a week. So I'm thinking this sickness must have been induced by looking at the financials of Greece. They probably got so unbelievably nauseated that they just can't do it. And it's unbelievable. I mean, so now what's going to happen is if they're going to meet at this summit on a one-month basis is the planned time period, and this is going to be a big one.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be there. Therefore, they can't make any decisions for the next bailout. It's what does that mean? We're back in limbo again.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It really is.
Seriously, this has been going on, and we've talked about it. It's never going to end, and they just keep doing it.
Well, I mean, they have the last laugh, I guess, right?
Well, somebody does.
Spain and Cyprus just asked for more aid this week. Cyprus is asking for a number of billions of dollars, equal to about half of the total economy. So I think they're the seventh country now.
Hmm.
Spain's rates have just gone up. You know, there was a big announcement of $125 billion, and that lasted all of about 12 hours that people were excited about it. Then that dropped off because now all of a sudden they had to do a formal audit. Well, they did an audit, but they say, well, that's not the final audit. Then Moody's comes in and downgrades a buttload of Spanish banks yesterday. And the problem is, from all accounts, these banks have seen so much outflow. It's actually there has been some behind-the-scenes clamping down on withdrawals in Spain. Mm. Nobody wants to fund these guys. Merkel says today, this is unbelievable, another one of those little ditties today. The Germany's prime minister, Merkel, Angela Merkel, says...
Merkel?
Merkel.
It's like Yerkel.
So listen to this. She says... Boy, I wonder if I can quote this. Did I write this down? Because I'd like to quote this. This is the best. Wait, did I write this down somewhere? Oh, come on. Wait, let me just look 1 second. This is really great. Anyway, she says, there will be no coordinated euro-backed bonds that will ever happen as long as I'm alive.
Hmm.
I think that was pretty...
And why is she saying this? Because the Germans have this opportunity to take over the place, which is they've been wanting to do for as long as I was alive and long before, and they have it ready to happen, but because of some of these goofball countries like Greece screwing with them, they're kind of reluctant to finish it off. And so the Euro bonds is the way to finish it off, but they won't do it.
There's two things. Euro bonds is number one. The second one is to put some guarantees on deposits, you know, like an FDIC.
Yeah, which is a great idea, by the way.
You have 10 kids, let's say. Okay? And one by one, these kids become very much spendaholics. And you tell them, hey, don't do that, but you bail them out. A couple of years goes by, and somehow it spreads a little bit. A couple of guys become more out of work. You got two of them that you can say, all right, you know what? Here's the good kids. The rest of them, just horrible, right? Now, you're financially stable, at least somewhat, but you've paid a lot of money into things, so it's not as comfortable as you want to be. Are you going to go and co-sign for loans for all these bad kids that spent all this money recklessly and not knowing if they could ever pay it back, then screwing up your credit? Basically, that's what the whole deal is. Eurobonds is Germany co-signing for Greece.
Well, the way I see it, they either get rid of Greece from the EU or the Eurozone, at least.
Yeah.
Or not. I mean, it's like... You either do co-sign for the loan or you kick him out of the family. Now, let's take it to another level. The same thing, only we're going to change the model a little bit. You got your 10 kids, and two of them keep getting arrested.
Yeah.
Are you going to stop bailing them out because you know they're going to probably get killed in prison?
It's a problem. It's Sophie's choice.
Well.
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, you take on these responsibilities in the first place. You raise the kid. You raise the kid that was, although in this situation it doesn't make any sense because they didn't raise, Germans have nothing to do with Greece. They didn't raise Greece. There's nothing, you know, they just kind of talked him into doing this. Okay, here's what they did. They brought him in as foster kids.
Okay, all right.
Into the EU. And now they're behaving badly like a foster kid might do. And what are you going to do?
Well, but the difference is that they allowed them to get away with a lot of crap for many years.
Well, that's whose fault was that?
The whole thing was a bad plan. And then what they did was they basically set it up so that you as the parent couldn't directly give to the kid the money. So what you would do would you sneak it through mom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So nobody would know.
No, this is a family situation that we're describing. This is exactly what it is.
Pay you back the money that mom gave them. That she took from you.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that, oh, we're solvent. We're good. We're paying back our debt. What are you talking about? It was just, it was smoke and mirrors.
Well, it's a house of cards.
Yep. So...
And this is not the right time in the business cycle to be doing any of this stuff because it's just not going to work out.
Not at all. And with China getting into trouble, and now China is being put against the wall. There was a big New York Times article, and don't be surprised about this, but that maybe China's fudging some of their economic numbers.
A, What?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. This has been obviously, everybody kind of knows this, that it's possible. Is it true? I don't know. You know what? I don't want to say it's true or not. I don't have any facts, so I can't say it. But there's a lot of, for a number of years, there's been a lot of murmurs about it. But you know what? You don't, as a portfolio manager, as an investor, you got to believe a little bit of that something's true until it's proven otherwise, because you can get burned that way. And you don't know where the information's coming from. You know, now, New York Times put out an article. It says that the one thing that you can hang your hat on when looking at Chinese economics is the electricity usage, particularly in many of the cities that have a lot of manufacturing and industry. Well, there's been some reports from some of the players that they're not allowed to put anything less than a zero for usage. In other words, that if usage comparatively month to month goes down, you can't put that. You put zero. They keep two separate books, possibly, because they need to make it look good for the central government because they keep their positions and get their cushy jobs. But the fact of the matter is that electricity use is down, blah, 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 blah. So there you go. I don't know. I mean,
It would make sense if China was having difficulties. It's going now, it makes no sense. They are completely an export-oriented operation, and they, as you can tell, there's not, you know, we've already bought enough Chinese junk. We bought our birdhouses from China. We bought our screwdrivers and crescent wrenches that don't quite work right, and all the cheap crap and the LED flashlights and everything else in between for a decade, and now we're full of stuff that we, you know, haven't even put in the right drawer. None of this surprises me.
That happens to you too.
I lose all. There is a elephant graveyard flashlight somewhere. There's a graveyard for flashlights, an elephant graveyard. I have lost probably 1,000 flashlights in my lifetime, and it's not like I take them and drop them off at somebody else's house. They have to be around here somewhere.
Yeah, there's everybody has their thing, you know, they buy way too much of. My father was paper towels. Fathered by a lot of paper towels. My great grandmother used to accuse the maid of stealing all of her toilet paper. She actually had to put it away in the closet on the top to keep it away so nobody stole it, but forgot she put it there.
Yeah.
I gotta love that.
Yeah.
Apple is going to pay employees more. This is a big story, that Apple is going to actually raise the amount to pay
at the retail because they were humiliated by the article. I think it was also in the New York Times showing that Apple pays their geniuses $2 an hour less than some, you know, boneheaded Costco gets. And they make twice as much per square foot than Costco does.
Well, that's because – and that's why, you know, Apple is such a great – place. And like, all I could tell you is that the way I read that and the jubilation that was kind of jumping off, it was like, we will give the slaves more food. You know, and we're all just letting you know that we are going to do this, and we have bowed to it, and we're going to pay them an extra dollar and a half per hour, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, there's a story that talks about how Apple is, the people who use Apple Macs, etc., pay more for travel, according to an article in the Wall Street Journal, travel website Orbitz,
that's
confirmed.
Yeah, no, they proved it. But they had a rationale, which I thought was clever.
Well, this is great. Tell everybody what's going on.
They said, or it turns out somebody analyzed Orbitz, the ads that went. If you have a lot of people don't realize that when you go onto a website, the website does a number of things. It analyzes the packets and can tell, and usually can kind of communicate with your machine enough to know if it's a Mac, PC, Linux, whatever. And it can also tell what browser you have and are using. It does some other things to it. Generally speaking, it can tell the screen size. The website knows what screen you're using. So if you're using a, you know, high-resolution screen, it will know. And from that, it can extrapolate advertising, you know, or target advertising target information. It's kind of like a... It's not demographics, but it's a little more psychographics, or a little toward that. And so it says, well, this guy's got a Mac, he's using a Safari, he's got a, oh, look at the resolution on that screen. It's unbelievable. He had to pay big dough for that screen. Let's only send him we're not going to humiliate the guy by sending, you know, results back on this search for hotel rooms in New York, because he's going to laugh. We're going to send him, you know, the high end stuff. And so that became a big scandal. Like, why am I only getting the expensive stuff, and these PC users are getting, you know, the Motel 6 results? And that's really what it amounts to. It's targeting.
Well, it depends on how you want to look at it. They said that the way they tried to bring it out was that, you know, interestingly enough, we found in a like kind of a general survey that Mac users are more likely to spend more on their travel, and they're 40% likelier to opt for a 4 or 5 star hotel. Now, obviously, if that's the only thing being put in front of your face, well, that's what you're going to opt for.
Right. So the, no, I agree with that. That's a misinterpretation. I don't think you can make that. Yeah, if somebody keeps throwing 4 star hotels, 5 star hotels in front of you, and that's all they give you, and you order one of them, I don't think that's necessary. There's a lot of cheap Mac users.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you might be one of them.
I am. Although I must tell you that I use my Mac. When I first got my Macs, I loved the Mac. It was great. And I never used Safari, Firefox. I used, you know. But now I use my Mac as a Windows machine. I have Windows 7 on there, and I primarily use it for that. I, you know, go swap back and forth, but primarily for the stuff I do, it's the Windows side of it. Yeah. They made it so easy to switch back and forth with a swipe of 3 fingers. You know, Windows, Mac, it's very easy.
Why would you do that?
Because a lot of the things I do can't use a Mac. You know, a lot of the programs, Excel, for example, where I bring data in from an outside source that's linked, can't work in a Mac. And a lot of little things, but so it makes it a little bit easier. Plus, to be honest with you, I like Word for Mac, although the new version of Word is much better on a PC. Excel is far superior on a PC. So we'll see. What do you think about this, speaking about Office, what do you think about this new, brand new, woohoo, tablet from Microsoft? We didn't talk about that yet.
Yeah, I think I'm going to write a paid-for report on this. Microsoft's not really saying what the deal is, because, you know, everyone's making all these interpretations that, you know, nobody wants to make one of these machines. And I am totally convinced that this is part of a strategy that Microsoft has not officially announced to begin to brand more and more items. And I expect to see a Microsoft PC, as a matter of fact, so they can have something to sell in the stores that they have. Mm-hmm. Microsoft now has about 25 of these stores. It's over 20, and then they got about 5 or 6 ready to open. So, and they're going to roll out. Apple's got 300-plus stores, almost 400 worldwide. And I think that Microsoft saw what Apple's doing with the square foot thing, and you saw that little item on the pay that they're getting and how much money they're making per square foot. It tops Tiffany's. Now, the Apple income from those stores is phenomenal. And I think Microsoft's picking up, going to say, look, let's give this a shot. But what are we going to sell in here? We have to have something. We can't, you know, you can't just have a store selling Office or Windows. Nobody's going to, you know, it's not a place to pack them in. So let's see what is Apple making all their money off of. They got the iPad. It's not important anymore. So they don't need the Zune anymore. They're selling phones. They're selling laptops. They're selling PCs, but not so much as the laptops. If you go to an Apple store, you see mostly laptops. And the iPad. So Microsoft is saying, okay, well, we need those same branded products, and we can make kind of designer versions, because we're not going to be wholesaling them, so we don't need a middleman. We can just, you know, sell them at a reasonably, you know, not an outrageous price, but we can sell them at a good price with a good margin. And I think that Microsoft is very seriously turning into a retailer.
Well, the difference between Apple and, as I see it, the difference between Apple and Microsoft is that Microsoft machines are a utility for most. In other words, if you're not in the arts, creativity area, et cetera, you're not using it for personal, the PC is your workhorse. It's your telephone. It's you know, the things that you need. The Mac, on the other hand, is more of a, I don't want to say discretionary, but it's more of a personal item somehow.
It's a luxury item, in fact.
Yeah, it's a luxury, but it's also personal. You know, it's where you take your content, where you get your entertainment on the iPad, your telephone.
I think Microsoft can copy this model.
Well, let's see if they do. It would be very interesting, and maybe that's one of the reasons that all these PC makers are just dropping like off a cliff.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, Microsoft looks out there and says, and these guys are playing around with Linux, and you know, what? Why am I? You know, I'm building this operating system. It's a dynamite operating system. I mean, people can complain about it, but if you think about it, it's pretty amazing. And nobody is, you know, they're getting it dirt cheap, and it's like, well, maybe we should get into this business because these guys aren't really helping us anymore. They used to, but now it's like, you know, Dell is mostly a enterprise company selling services, and all this other stuff's ancillary. HP turned that way, and they were almost going to drop the PC side of the business completely. IBM, where's their PCs? They don't even make them anymore. So everyone's in Asia, you know, the home of the stolen operating system. So Microsoft's got to rethink its long-term strategy, and I think this is what it is.
Yeah, IBM spun off Lenovo, right?
Yeah.
So
Lenovo's no friend of Microsoft.
And Lenovo dropped like a rock this week after putting out some very poor guidance moving forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're seeing this kind of widespread. It's not just because of Apple. It's because of, you know, first of all, there also hasn't been a major, as I see it, the last, I don't know, 2 years. You haven't really needed a major refresh of your computers. I mean, you know, you got it's not like you went from the megabyte to gigabyte of RAM. We have the gigabytes of RAM now. The hard drives are pretty solid. You go maybe to solid state eventually. You know, you got the i7s out, so that may be helpful. But still, if you're just doing basic work, internet, Word, all that's optimized for, you know, and Windows 7 came out and did a really good job at optimization of a lot of this. So maybe it's an interesting idea. I mean, I'd like to find out. I mean, and you know, as long as they don't have a Microsoft store with all the different computers, which would be just the equivalent of a failing Best Buy.
No, they can't do that.
I agree. I've
followed this whole model for years because I was actually an advocate of computer stores since the beginning, when the original store that started selling personal computers, which was called the Byte Shop came later. This was called Computer Kits. Computer Kits was the store that was owned by Altair and sold the Altair computer, the original store in 1975, 76, 77, until they were bought by Pertec. It was a store specializing in that machine, and it did very well. And then the Byte Shops came along, but the Byte Shops didn't own their own machine, and so I'm pretty sure it became like a car dealership or a used car dealership because they had all these different brands. And that deteriorated over time until you ended up with the worst case scenario, which was CompUSA. Computerland was also a bad model.
My wife worked for them.
There was one good model that showed up that could have done it, which was CompuAd, which was one of the leading computer makers in an era, I think it was in the late 80s. They made these beautiful laptops, and they had good machines. It was a mail order operation. His main competitor was Dell, and they were head to head. And the computer ad guys may have been more talented, and they opened up some stores to take advantage of this concept. But their stores were generalized stores. They were essentially CompUSA. And they all went broke and took the whole company with them, and nobody even remembers them anymore. This is the way to go. This is the way the car people did it. They had their dealerships. You control the sales pitch. You sell Chevys. You know, this is the Microsoft. It's taken forever, and it's only when Apple proved this model does work if you do it right, you know, and they do it right. I think this is what's going to happen with Microsoft.
And there is some.
A report will be coming out shortly for a small fee.
Yeah, good. There is some. I've seen some work in Harvard Business Review. I read it, and there was a Booz Allen study about the second in phenomena. So you know, you look at Home Depot and the success there, and then all of a sudden Lowe's comes in.
Right.
What Lowe's does is it looks at Home Depot and says, "Hey, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? And let's try to emulate what they're doing, but take out all the bad stuff."
Yeah, this makes a number of assumptions that I don't fully agree with. One is that you can identify. And Microsoft figuring out what Apple did right and wrong may not be doable because a lot of this stuff is psychological.
Mm-hmm.
Like Apple's patented glass staircase. You don't know what effect that has on users. Is it positive, negative? You don't know. They've copied a lot of stuff. They have the Guru bar instead of the Genius bar. But for the most part, it's based on that thesis, yes, the second in.
Yeah. And then Microsoft also agreed to buy Yammer,
yeah,
which is a private social network.
Laughable.
I guess for $1.2 billion. Nothing goes for the millions anymore,
nope.
Which is quite remarkable because, you know, let's also back up. They also bought Skype, which actually they're turning out
for $8 billion.
That was a lot of money. But they're putting that together. They got Yammer. So it looks like they're setting up not only an integrated, we'll call it, internal communication system for companies, but also possibly some other kind of calling, you know, voice over IP calling / communication that they're working on with all this.
Yeah, something.
Yep.
Either that or they're completely nuts, which is possible.
Well, they have a lot of money, so they're buying stuff up. It's very nice. Very nice. Now, India.
India.
They're going to put. Have you been there, to India?
You know, I've been all around the world. India, no.
Do you want to go?
I used to, but now I don't care anymore because the Indians are, you know, they've never. No one's ever offered to send me over there for anything. It's just they're cheap.
So it's all about you.
No, well, if I'm going, of course it's about me. Why else would I go about India if it wasn't about me?
Well, I know, but
aren't you going to Cambodia?
Yeah, but nobody sent me an invitation.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, I expect to be invited. I just don't barge in.
Oh, I understand. No, I mean, then they got to prepare for the arrival of Jonas and Dvorak.
Yeah, well, yeah. It would be nice.
And, you know, security, I mean, there's a whole
not going to happen.
I understand.
I don't care about the security. Is meaningless. It's all bogus.
All right, so Coca-Cola plans on putting in $5 billion into India by 2020.
Hmm.
Because, you know, the government's kind of like may let some people, companies in, may not let people in, and, you know, they all depend, but they see Coca-Cola sees a potential in the fast-growing nation where the average Coke consumption is just only 12 bottles a year. Now, mind you, this is still the country that has the highest per capita diabetes in the world.
Which I find weird because they don't eat. Well, actually, maybe not because the carbohydrates seem to have something to do with that.
Nope, they westernized their diet.
Oh, okay.
And their bodies were used to, for years and decades and centuries, used to vegetables and all that, and they just started to eat things that are not, they were not genetically able to break down.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it's a really big problem, actually. Tremendous problem.
So all they need now is a bunch of Coke.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Too bad. Let's see. Housing sector seems to be picking up. Oh, I have to talk to you about something. I need to talk to you about hard drives.
Yeah.
Now,
2 terabytes, $99.
Now, with all the drop-offs in sales for PCs, and the fact that you got Moore's Law going on, and you got the fact that solid-state drives are coming in, okay, so far so good. You got the cloud, right? So you got a decentralized place to store things, and the internet usage as well as apps as a service, if you will. Companies kind of hit my radar, which was Seagate and Western Digital, as potential problem childs from this. Now, mind you, Seagate was kind of moving lower and Western Digital's been moving lower, and then magically they get an announcement that Seagate's going to join the S&P 500, so the stock's up 4% or 3.5% today. But what are your thoughts on the potential drop-off in sales and potential squeeze of these companies?
Well, both companies are into the SSD thing, so they're not going to lose out there. At some point, they'll be up to speed with everybody. So that's not like an issue, I don't think. And their technology keeps improving. I mean, this is a nightmare for anyone who tries to follow it, because I remember when it was predicted by 1990 we wouldn't have a moving, you know, the spinning disks. It's very strange how this has happened. How much can you store, you know, on these discs? It's right. Astonishing.
Right.
I don't know. I actually kind of like these. And they also make, I think they're getting into keys and some other things. I think they're a little overvalued in some ways. On the other hand, it's always been a, there's only two companies left, essentially. And I think there's.
Well, but if they go into the solid state, there's a lot more companies. If they start migrating.
Yeah, they're going to have to. Well, you know, the solid states were still like 10x behind. I mean, solid state may be core memory, but you're not going to be putting these, you know, backup drives and all this other stuff.
But the new line of MacBooks has solid states.
Yeah, but it's not for backup.
Right. Okay, it's not for
no, backup. I'm saying the main drive will become slowly solid state because it works so much better. It's faster.
It's still
small. What's 250 megs or something? It's not like or gigs. It's not like
It's not. It's but the price point. If you think about how much it would cost to put that together, kind of on your own, it'd be expensive to put it in. We priced some of those out. We were surprised that Apple was able to do that and keep the price where.
Well, they have their own. They're essentially not even using a solid state drive. They're essentially glued a bunch of chips inside the machine. It's not even a drive you can remove. It's not a product you can buy.
Right.
It's something.
Part of the whole,
it's somewhat. It's actually misleading.
Well, it still works as a.
Yeah, it looks like one to the user, right. But it's no different than the original NEC Ultralight 1, which had a solid state drive. I might add, one of the first. There's an old DOS machine from the 80s. It wasn't a lot of memory, but it was in there, solid state. It was just essentially glued in. It's not the same as a drive. You can't replace
it. We'll see
you
how
can't
this plays
upgrade
out.
It. There's no upgrading. It's not the model that we're looking for. I mean, it's fine for what it is. You have to assume that the machine's good for 2 years and you're going to throw it away.
The point is if PC sales are slumping, if that's a basic point.
Yeah, that argument goes back and forth, but go on.
Okay. All right. Well, all right, we'll see what happens here. We're going to kind of stay short this company until we get my clients.
You're short who?
Seagate.
Oh, okay. I don't think it's a bad thing to be short on.
Yeah, I mean it was fine until last night when it was added to the S&P 500. It's not a big deal. It's only a few.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, I think it's a good time to short it. Yeah, it got picked up and boom.
Let's see here. Apple announced a new standalone product. We're still on technology here. There's other things to deal with here. But Apple announced a new standalone product or a standalone app for podcasts. I think they're going to be phasing out the podcast on the iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't like this.
I don't know what the point is.
Well, screw podcasters.
Why is it screw podcasters?
Because you can't find stuff. It's already flaky.
Mm. I was on the front page of What's Hot.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Glass-Steagall is making a comeback.
It's about time.
Is that music to your ears? Seriously.
I am a big fan of Glass-Steagall.
I'm with you. I'm hearing a lot of conversation about it. As a matter of fact, Fez Honig talked about that it needs to happen. It
has to do with banking. You got these bankers who are just investing, and then you have these bankers who say, you know, take money in and send it back into the community so people can buy houses and whatever. And you can't mix those two together because as soon as these guys see this big pot of free money from all the savings and whatever, they just throw it into the stocks. It's just a disaster.
I agree. Not to mention the fact that there should be separation of the overall investing and insurance.
Yeah, insurance does the other one. So it's a three-way thing.
If you're banking, you're banking. That's it. Banking. That's it. You can't make all the profits? Well, too darn bad.
Go do something else. This is like people that say, Jesus, this guy's selling moose heads across the street. He's making so much more money than I am. I'm going to sell moose heads, too. And you're a cupcake shop. I mean, come on.
And then the other thing is, if you want to do that, well, open up a totally separate company. Maybe profits can flow, but you can't have money going back and forth.
Right.
You know, there can be no blurring of the lines of where money is.
So, yeah, did you see the scam about FM Global did?
FM Global?
What's the name of the Corzine's
company? MF Global.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same. That's exactly right.
They came up with apparently there was some rule where they could kind of jigger the books a certain way and count it a certain way. Did you read this? Was in the Saturday New York Times. Very interesting story.
It was about how they were able to count certain amounts of client assets a certain way and whether it
it was
being
a complete scam.
And this guy is going to get scot free. You'll see.
Oh yeah, no, I now agree with that because of this particular thing. Somehow they came up with this thing was on the books and nobody did anything about it. Hey, it was you guys said we could do that. You know, and then boom. Right. Yeah.
That's what you get for having smart technical strategists and lawyers. Speaking of which, Obamacare supposedly is going to be the final ruling this week.
Yeah.
Thursday or Friday. What do you think?
I know what they're going to do already.
Okay.
It's going to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Think they're just going to kind of make everybody happy-pappy?
No, they're going to take some stuff. It's going to throw this out and keep that and throw it. It's going to be
How can you do that? If it's not one package, how do you
Well, this part of it is bad. This part is illegal. This part is non-constitutional, but this part's okay. And I'm telling you, they're going to slice and dice. That's what I'm telling you. Slice and dice.
And then we're going to have to figure out what the hell it means after the fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Very nice. So it's going to be more misery and not understanding things and who benefits and who doesn't. And in the end, the consumer won't.
Of course.
I don't know about your health insurance costs, but they're not going anywhere but up.
Oh, yeah. It's a scam.
I mean, up and up and up. I think just for my family, it's $1,400 or $1,500 a month.
Yeah, that's about right. This is unbelievable.
I mean, that's like somebody's living.
It's like $20,000 a year just on the off chance you're going to get hit by a car.
Right. God forbid you ever use it. You don't want to use it because if you use it, you know.
Then it goes up.
I have insurance. I don't want to use it, though. Why? Because the price can go up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a net.
Lennar is a big. This is now. Here may be an interesting trend. I think you remember this from back in the day when Japan bought Pebble Beach, Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
And yeah. And there was a huge. There's actually a Yakuza behind a lot of that.
Everybody was. I mean, people were starting to freak out. You know, that's when we all wanted to be Japanese, except for the morning exercise routine. Nobody wanted that, right?
Right.
But we wanted to emulate the Japanese, which, by the way, it seemed to have worked. Pretty much interest rates are zero, deflation.
Yeah, right.
Housing bubble
soon
crashes.
We'll have so right, a stagnation forever. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're doing a great
Very
job.
Nice. So Lennar, I guess, was approached or was in talks with the China Development Bank for approximately $1.7 billion, another billion, in capital to jumpstart a long-delayed San Fran project right in your neck of the woods that would transform two former naval bases into large-scale housing developments. How does that sound?
Well, that would be
what we need.
The naval, yeah, right. It's in this market,
we need that. I mean, you know, some of the housing. Actually, some of the numbers are looking a little bit better.
Looking.
Well, the Case-Shiller actually came out positive today.
And that one time, that's fantastic.
It's nice to see. I think it's the second time, but that's good. And we're actually seeing some of the companies that are involved in this, whether it's Lennar, Toll Brothers, or whoever, are actually starting to pick up. Lennar has earnings tomorrow morning. We'll see what happens there. But they have been actually doing much better. New home starts are up, which is good. Now, whether or not that does anything for pricing, that's a different discussion. But there is some kind of at least some flow happening here. And I mean, you would think there should be with interest rates next to zero.
Yeah, you'd think. Except you can't get the loan.
Right.
So it's a scam.
And with that, Bernanke is trying to keep interest rates down. In his last meeting, he announced no change to the interest rate policy, the 0 to 0.25%. But they're extending Operation Twist, which is basically taking any of the short-term maturing debt that's coming in, and instead of paying it back or retiring it, they're going to buy long-term paper to keep the long-term interest rates down. Don't ask me how this helps anything.
It doesn't.
It's like, you know, you remember watching, remember the show Soap?
I vaguely remember it. Yeah, it was a parody.
There was a character on there that would wave his hand. I think his name is Bert. He would wave his hand, snap his fingers, and say, "I'm invisible. Nobody can see me now." And everybody's like, "What are you talking about?" You know, that's kind of the same thing. Snap a finger, we're doing Operation Twist, and it's going to help out. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but, twist. To do it long enough, you'll be shouting.
Yeah, exactly. So. One of the things that's been irking me a little bit lately, you know how analysts say when the price of oil is really high that don't worry, it's not going to affect spending or it's not going to affect the economy. You know, it will have very limited effect, right? You always hear that. When gas price is like $4 or whatever, nobody ever says, this is really problematic, except for the few. But meanwhile,
we say it on the show.
We're for truth and justice. That's what we stand for. But now, when oil prices come down, gas prices come down, they all chime in how great this is for the economy.
I know, it's hilarious.
What is that all about?
Yeah, it's not. That's funny. It's true.
It's so good for the consumer that can spend more.
This is great. It was the best thing that could ever happen. Wait a minute. A minute ago, you said it was no big deal one way or the other.
Stupid. Stupid people. And I think we should just... In closing this show, before we get to the stocks and all that, is just have to mention Research in Motion. Have you seen that stock lately?
No, I have actually avoided looking at it.
It's
should
not
I
pleasant.
Take a look?
Look at
take
it
a
if
look.
You want.
Let me get a window open here.
This is it's a sad ending.
It's not over yet. Until it's over, it's $8.97. It's not that bad.
why can't they come out with something? Is it so? I mean, there hasn't been a peep out of something new. I mean, are they just they just can't get anything new? I mean, they're just void of creativity there. Is it because of the Canadian firm?
No, actually, they were ahead of the game with everybody. I don't know what happened. I mean, the original founders got kicked out of the company, so that might have something to do with it.
It's because they didn't have anything. You know,
they weren't doing anything either. That's true. But look at my favorite one, Nokia, $2.16. Now, that's Nokia, your company to watch. This thing is a buying opportunity.
This is after Microsoft has a partnership with them. This is after they have the huge...
Microsoft does the deal. Boom. The company's now $2. Heading to 50 cents.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Let's talk about some stocks. You want to do that?
Yes.
Nice greenies on here. Now, this is a little thing. Everybody knows. I'm going to say it anyway. We kind of come up with some ideas on what could be interesting to watch for maybe one idea or one reason or another. And it's a game we play. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. This is positions that Horowitz Company clients may hold or not, or we may own personally. But you should not utilize this as anything more than informational and educational. All right. So a lot of stuff is still on here. From, can you believe it? Back. This is kind of interesting because our stuff, since we have a 10% stop, usually doesn't hang on forever. We've had a few in the past.
Yeah.
Monster Beverage is just a monster of 57%.
Yeah, I should have bought that one.
They were added to the S&P 500 as well, by the way, recently.
Oh, and, time to short.
And they also, there was some downgrade recently, but also the interesting thing about them is that there's still a little bit of a potential buyout rumor circulating around. We'll see. Maybe Coke is going to buy it and send it off to India. Who knows? The short oil is up dramatically.
Yeah, that's a good one. Finally.
Icon Enterprises hanging in there, up 6.5%. Icon just, you know, he went into Chesapeake Energy. Did you see that? He bought a big piece of
yeah.
What a disaster that is. That guy, Audrey McLennan, I think it's McLennan, the CEO.
Yeah.
He's a suspicious fellow.
Yeah, something's up.
Right there. I mean, the amount of money he's borrowed from the company and all these things are uncovering now.
Icon's going to bust this guy.
Cliffs, anything coal-related, iron-related, materials-related, coal companies have been just absolutely obliterated.
Yep.
Now, this goes into the China discussion. Supposedly
China apparently is building this coal up because they can't use it fast enough because nobody wants their electricity. Yeah, no, coal's a disaster right now.
Questcor Pharmaceuticals popped very nicely to an all-time high last week of 51%. Hewlett-Packard, I keep on thinking it's going to...
Bottom out. I just wrote a column in MarketWatch about this. I think it was last Friday, asking the question, when is this going to happen? And you can't answer it. You don't know. It could be get down to $9, $8. I don't know.
Cracker Barrel, one of your favorites, up 4%. Vivus, I think it's a diet drug, up 17%. Zag is down a bit. Ultimax, nice short, down 21, up 21%, excuse me. Opca Health hanging in there. The guy keeps on buying. JP Morgan, nice.
Something's up.
Up 3.5%. Apple short, up 6%. Chart Industry short, up 7%. Activision Blizzard on the edge. We need something to happen here. We need that.
The theory needs to come through.
Pandora up 3%. Yeah. Dell short, you picked, is up 7%. Titan Machinery is up 10% on the short, although it was up 7% today. It was up about 17% at one point. Nuance is not doing so well. TransDigm holding in there. And United States Antimony Corporation, I'm sorry to tell you, it stopped out.
Oh.
With that website, I thought it was a winner.
No, I know. You based your thinking on the website, which I think is funny.
I all I can say is that...
But you were right, and I was wrong, so that's the end of that.
So there's two things that I am coming up with. One of them is New Skin Enterprises. Now, this is a, loosely said, we'll call it a multi-level marketing kind of thing. Like Tupperware was, kind of, like Herbalife.
It's nothing like Tupperware. This is a classic pyramid operation.
Okay, but they make
legal,
money doing it.
Legal pyramid.
And a lot of these companies, or there's a few of them, got just absolutely smoked after that whole incident with Herbalife.
Yeah.
Where... In the conference call, a very famous short seller got on and asked two questions. They were relatively innocent questions. and the Herbalife dropped like 50%, and Nu Skin dropped like 40%. Well, Nu Skin just today started to kind of creep up over an important resistance point. Now we'll see if this holds, but if we get something behind there and there's some short interest, it could really short squeeze all the way up pretty nicely. Mm. And Mercado Libre is the eBay of, we'll call it Latin America.
Yeah.
The stock has been absolutely suffering for a while. It was 95, it was 65, and all that. It popped up about 5.5% today. It just was a big short covering towards the end of the quarter. And we're saying there's a possibility it'll just come right back down.
Yeah, I can see it.
Any stocks that you'd like to chime in about?
Well, I'm kind of onto this insider thing, and I'm looking around, and I'm not seeing anything that really impresses me. So I'm going to probably skip this week.
Sell anything lately? I'm trying to think who was selling.
Well, Schmidt sold some stock.
He's got to take care of that voice of his friends there. That's a weird story too, huh?
What?
What's his name? He lost his voice?
Oh, yeah. Right. Paige. I can't talk.
And he's saying, I can't talk. I can't be on the conference call next week. It's like, next week? What do you mean next week? Are you not going to be healed by next week? A little weird.
That is weird.
So we're not going to talk for...
You're on vacation, so we're going to skip one more show. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be doing a show for sure. And, God, Zynga is just dropping like a rock, isn't it?
Zynga is just... Today was a bad day for them. They had an analyst meeting and a Zynga Day, they called it, or a Zynga something conference. And they announced a couple little things. And actually, Zynga was another one on my screen, and I'm watching. It's down like 2%, down 1%. And all of a sudden, it starts 3%, 4%, 5%. It's like 7.5% out of nowhere dropped off at. I'm like, what the heck is that? And we own actually a company called Glue.
Yeah, one of your favorites.
Sent today. It was over $5, which is good. That's a big point of you know, where the next move is to like 6. And there was some rumor and some discussion about buyout, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, this whole gaming and application based stuff. It's here to stay, and companies are, you know, like even Microsoft are all hopping on the bandwagon. When Microsoft comes out with their phone and they come out with their iPad, and if it becomes popular, now they got to rewrite for that, and there's a whole new audience. But Zynga is a problem. Now, Facebook is coming off its quiet period tomorrow. I believe it's tomorrow. And in addition, I think in another 40 days, they're going to be the lockup period ends. So it's going to be interesting to watch Facebook. It's at 33 and change today. It's been riding up the last week.
Yeah, it's been catching up to where hoped for. Well, there's a stock I might think of shorting if I like feel a little adventuresome, which is Supernus, SUPN, which ran up like a maniac on, I don't know what news. I couldn't find it. Apparently, apparently the FDA is granting some okay.
Oh, it's 14% today.
Especially that's doing raises move close to final approval to an epilepsy treatment, Trokendi XR.
What's the volume? 3.5 million. Usually 53,000 per day.
And so everyone's just kind of bought in, which means that, and they bought in now. And to keep up with that, I would take the chance that there's just a bunch of people getting in, waiting for the run up. When they actually make money off the stuff. But since there's generally no volume, it's going to, unless it goes up again, which might. But I would take a chance on shorting it.
Things that you'll notice on this is that, first of all, that the volume is usually low, and they got something, so it's exciting. But on the institutional ownership level, zero.
Oh, I didn't see that.
We're on the short.
So I'll put me on a short on that, see what happens. Worst case scenario, I get wiped out right away, and I won't be noticing it.
To at least 15% here. Okay? Because this could just be, you know, I'm going to give you a 15% move on that one.
Yeah,
because
it's going to potentially... it's a moth.
Okay, good.
In here.
Yeah. It's a moth?
Oh. Yeah, there's a moth flying around in here. Huh. Okay, I think that should do it.
We're going to see what happens over the next week or so. It should be very interesting with the results of what's going to happen this week, at the end of the week for Obamacare. And for the Euro Summit, which I don't think is going to get cleared up. But we have GDP coming out later this week, some more initial claims numbers coming out this week. And then next week, when I'm gone, that Friday is going to be Jobs Friday again.
Yeah, could be funny.
Hysterical. All right, I will see you next week. It's great talking to you, and I'll send you.
No, not next week. You'll see me the week after because you're going to be in parts unknown.
Cool. We'll send you some pictures.
Yeah, I look forward to it. All right, talk to you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.